The Death to Hell to Gotham Pipeline, written by Safely Capricious and read by Kaber. This is a Marvel-DC crossover fic, rated mature, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Constantine and Natasha and Jason, Gotham City and Natasha, and Gotham City and Jason. Additional tags do include a warning for body horror, as well as tags for liminal spaces, magical realism, unreliable narrator, uncanny valley, possession, altered mental states, life in Gotham City, and modern with magic fantasy. There are days when Gotham looks like any other city, where visitors can pretend it's just a slightly more Gothic-styled New York or a dirtier metropolis and get their souvenirs and photos in front of the Wayne Building and carry on their merry way. This is not one of them. And not for the usual reason it might obviously be different, aka rogue attack. No. The air is thick enough with magic when Jason wakes up that he has to take an extra minute to just lay in his bed and breathe. The heavy pressing down, the city watching, the walls filled with eyes, and the smell of iron and water in the air doesn't abate as he lays there, but he adjusts and is able to push himself out of bed soon enough. A glance at the clock tells him it's just gone 10 in the morning, which is earlier than he wanted to get up, since he'd been out on the streets until 5, and then had his normal trouble falling asleep. He's not sure when he fell asleep, finally, because looking at his phone or a clock always wakes him up more again, but it couldn't have been earlier than 7. He runs a hand over his face, as if he can simply wipe the exhaustion away, because he's not going to get any more sleep today, and he knows it. The magic is buzzing in his skin, like he's touched a battery to his tongue, or been stupid enough to accept drugs in Gotham and found them laced with something else. Despite the time, there is no light seeping out from underneath his curtains, and he's not surprised when he finally bothers to look out the window and finds there's no sun. There are lights. The city lights are glowing iridescent in the darkness of the night, a sheen over them like an oil slick, as the light is reflected back from the sky. The sky is far too low and black, instead of hazy with clouds or fog. Jason squints and realizes he can see stars in the sky. What fresh hell is this? The stars are moving, not quickly, not shooting, but quicker than they should be, and not naturally. Sighing, he leans against the window for a moment. The eyes in the walls blink at him, and he ignores them with long practice. This is not looking like something that's going to clear up on its own, unfortunately, and he's almost certainly going to have to help fix it. The eyes blink again, and then close, one after the other, and vanish. And that motivates him to move out of the room and put his uniform on. There's just as much chance of the eyes coming back as the mouths showing up, and he is not going to deal with the wailing if he can help it, so it's the street for him. There's a figure in a tan trench coat on the corner, and since this seems exactly like Constantine's kind of bullshit, Jason swerves towards them before he realizes the hair is wrong, red like heart blood and wet besides, for all that the street is dry. The face she turns towards him is pale porcelain, with eyes as green as Ivy's man-eating plants and likely just as dangerous. "Red Hood," says a voice behind her. And look, there's Constantine. Jason was absolutely right about the type of bullshit. "Constantine," Jason returns, and tilts his head to the woman who is still wearing Constantine's signature jacket. "You brought a friend?" "What can I say?" Constantine says, reaching into the coat the woman is wearing without asking permission and pulling out a much battered pack of cigarettes. He lights up with a wave of his hand and blows the smoke away from her with lazy movements. "I'm a friendly bloke." "You have something to do with this night show?" he asks him, instead of saying something disparaging about friends like these, keeping his gaze on the woman. Or he thinks she's a woman. She moved when he was approaching, but he's not actually sure she's breathing often enough, and there's something uncanny valley about the perfection of her face. "It was like this when we got here," Constantine says. "And who is your friend?" Jason steps closer to the woman, and she tilts her head back. He's seen that her hair was wet already, but now that he's closer, he can see the liquid dripping off of it is blood, or looks like blood, smells like blood. It's confined to her hair, though, and not staining the jacket or rolling off. There aren't any wet marks on the jacket at all, actually. He can see that now that he's closer. "What is your friend?" he amends himself. And everything in him is screaming that she's a threat, and the urge to pull his guns or see if he can summon the All Blades is high, and he's resisting by the skin of his teeth. Be nice, Constantine says. "She's new to, well, this universe." He blows a perfect smoke ring and then sends a dart through it with a quick puff. "Found her ripping her way through hell, as one does, and got a favor from the big guy for removing her. She's not dead, you see, but not quite alive either. Dimension travel is a hell of a trip, and she's hungover and has a bit of an infection." Jason is glad he's wearing his muzzle so he can rub ineffectively at the bridge of his nose through his domino. The helmet doesn't allow that sort of thing. "But it's not related to this nighttime at 10 a.m. shit." "You're the only 10 I see," Constantine replies instantly and then hesitates. "Didn't say it wasn't related, though." Jason takes another look at the woman, then at Constantine, then at her again and sighs. "Jesus fucking wept. Fine, let's find somewhere to sit down and you can tell me how the hell to fix this." "His eyes," the voice continues, seeming intent on trying to get Natasha to harm the man who dragged her from hell. "If you eat his eyes, then you'll see what he sees." Natasha is fairly sure that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But maybe it is. The world has gone decidedly pear-shaped since she threw herself to her death to save the rest of them, to save her family. She wonders if they succeeded. She hadn't thought she'd be able to wonder that, thought she'd just be dead. But she'd woken up in hell, apparently, which had not been surprising. The fact that she'd been free to move around had been. The fact that she'd been so good at surviving hell also, actually, hadn't been surprising. And then they'd kicked her out, and everything had gone wrong. The man who had taken her out had identified himself as John Constantine, and told her that she was infected. She didn't know what that meant, but as the voice only started speaking to her after they'd stepped out of a glowing door and onto the street of a glowing city, there seemed to be a good indication that something wasn't right. Her hair had started to drip, and it had burned away her clothes, which had been new, and then he'd been wrapping her in his coat, which didn't seem to burn. The liquid, it tasted like blood, didn't hurt her. But he'd sworn when it had touched his flesh and flinched back, for all that his jacket was unharmed. She is perched now on a low wall beside a park. The other two sit at the picnic table. The scar of where her hair had dripped, there, visible. She doesn't seem to be able to hurt the city itself.
"Of course you can't hurt me," the voice says. "You are me."
Natasha rolls those words around her mouth, even as a cup is thrust toward her. "Here, love," Constantine says. "Drink this. It might help." The cup is half full with a pale green liquid. She tilts it this way and that, and watches as it seems to disobey liquid dynamics in its oscillation. She could talk in hell. She hasn't been able to since they left. Every time she tries, she just hisses or cackles or makes a sound like gunshots into glass. She wonders if this is poison. She wonders if she can die. The other two have cups as well. The Red Hood has taken off his muzzle to show a strong jaw and white teeth that she thinks should be sharper than they are. The voice hasn't told her to hurt him at all. The voice seems to like him. He salutes her with his glass before he takes a sip, and she does likewise. The taste of pears is strong enough to make her gag as it coats her tongue. And then there's screaming in her mind. The voice screaming, and a wrenching feeling like when she had her arm pulled out of its socket, but somehow across her entire body, and there's a woman standing before her. Not a woman. Not alive. The thing shaped like her opens eyes wide that contain all of the city lights and all of the night sky and all of heaven and all of hell, and then opens a mouth wide that's filled with jagged teeth made of broken bottles and shattered metal, and it shrieks loud enough to pierce her eardrums and then vanishes. Well, she says, dry as her hair has suddenly become, that's an interesting way to welcome me to your city. You know, I think hell was more friendly. Constantine laughs, and the Red Hood grins at her, sharp like a threat. She grins back. The end. Podfickers note, in a very loving tone, I promise, but safely, why do I always manage to read like the first part of a fic of yours, know that I'm going to love it, decide I'm going to record it, get like halfway through recording, and then like it always has the one thing that gets to me, like the cockroaches one, and then I actually need to pause to gag after the eye line because I don't do eye horror, and like even that visual of Natasha eating Constantine's eyes was enough for me to be like, ugh! And then keep going because I scanned it and was like, oh, she doesn't actually go for his eyes. We good. But that's so loving because your fics are so good that I'm willing to push through my triggers and squicks and stuff to be like, this is a perfect fic, must record, must get the words out. Anyway, that's just me rambling. Thanks. Bye.